You and I were born into something we didn't build, and if we're honest, most of us live like it didn't cost us anything. 250 years of American history. Sounds big. Sounds important. Sounds worth celebrating, and it is. 250 years isn't a super long time, but it's a long time for the level of freedom that we enjoy. But there's a danger that comes with something lasting that long. We get used to it. We assume it. We stop asking how we got here and whether it'll still be here after us. So maybe the better question at 250 years in isn't just, is America still free? Maybe the better question is this. Are we still the kind of people who can sustain what we've inherited? Because we didn't build this. We were born into it. And the freedoms we enjoy today were paid for by people who never got a chance to see what we see. Men who signed their names knowing it could cost them everything. And I mean everything. Farmers picked up rifles. Pastors preached from the pulpits. They preached liberty. Families lost sons and they kept going anyway. From Lexington and Concord to Gettysburg to Normandy to the mountains of Afghanistan. Freedom always demanded something. Blood, sacrifice, courage, but not comfort. Now here we are. We live very comfortably. We live in the outcome without having paid the price, at least most of us. We drive on roads that we didn't build. We're protected by systems we didn't create, and we speak freely because somebody else refused to stay silent. And slowly, subtly, we start to treat freedom like it's just normal. It's the default setting of the world, right? Like it just showed up, but it didn't. It didn't just show up. We're beneficiaries of courage that we didn't have to show, by and large. And that should humble us, it should ground us, it should wake us up, and it should definitely make us thankful. Because here's the truth, freedom doesn't sustain itself, and it never has. And it also doesn't usually disappear in some dramatic moment. There's not always tanks on the street, not a sudden collapse. It erodes, and it erodes slowly over time, quietly. I think President Reagan said, communism comes in slowly and then all at once. So piece by piece, it weakens wherever people assume that somebody else will defend it, where people stop paying attention and stop speaking up, where people decide it's easier to stay comfortable than to stay engaged, where silent and where dissent is silenced. You don't lose freedom all at once. You lose it in small compromises. You lose it in silence. You lose it in silence when truth really, really matters. Or in fear when courage is required. Or convenience when conviction is inconvenient. History's full of examples of that. Societies that thought they were stable and then they weren't. People who thought it could never happen right before it did. And tyranny doesn't always knock the door down. Like I said, it's not always tanks in the street. Sometimes we invite it in. Sometimes it's voted in. Sometimes we welcome it because it promises safety or equality or ease or some other comfort. And right now we have senators who are flying the flags of other countries in our Senate chambers. We have a communist sitting as mayor in one of the largest economies in the world. It always costs the same thing. Freedom, every time. Benjamin Franklin famously said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And that applies. Freedom doesn't collapse overnight. It fades whenever people stop caring enough to protect it. Maybe part of the reason we get complacent is because we talk about America like it's finished, like we've arrived, like it's settled or the work is done, but it's not. founders didn't create a guarantee. They didn't create an end state. They created an opportunity for our generation to push that forward and experiment. A system that's only designed to work under very specific conditions. One of those conditions is you. It's us. It's a moral people, a self-governing people, willing to restrain themselves so the government doesn't have to step in and do it for them. That's why George Washington, even though he was a deist and not technically a Christian, he said Christianity was the most apt moral framework to build our society on. So yes, one of those conditions is that we are by and large a Christian society, at least morally. That's the deal. Every generation either honors that deal or weakens it. You don't inherit a republic and keep it. You inherit it and then you decide what happens next. We're not watching history, we're inside of it. We're not looking back on it, it's right now. The American experiment's running. It's in process. And it's waiting to see what we'll do next. This is where it gets uncomfortable. Because we love talking about rights and equality and freedom, and we'll argue about them, we'll demand them, pretend that we deserve them, no matter what our actions show. But we don't talk nearly as much about the responsibility. And the truth is, you don't get one without the other. Freedom of speech means nothing if you don't value truth. Freedom to choose becomes dangerous if you refuse to choose wisely. A free society only works when people can govern themselves. And that requires something deeper than laws. It requires discipline and character and conviction and morality. If we lose that, then freedom doesn't last. It can't. When that happens, something always moves in to fill that void, that vacuum. More control, more regulation, more rules, more power concentrated in fewer hands. Because if people won't govern themselves, if we refuse, then something else has to step in and do it for them. That's not freedom. That's control. It's the opposite. We're really loud about our rights and our demands, but we're quiet about the responsibility that it takes to keep them alive. Part of that responsibility is accountability in ourselves, but not just personal, and public accountability, because freedom requires limits on power. That means holding leaders accountable and being accountable ourselves as examples. No matter who they are, we need to hold them accountable. There's no blind loyalty. There's no unchecked authority, no just trust us, no uniparty. It's not how this works. And it breaks when we try to make it work that way. This country was built on the idea that power has to be restrained, has to be checked and balanced. The government answers to the people don't answer to the government. And every time we try to flip that around, even a tiny bit, freedom takes a little bit more of a hit. Because here's the reality, there's always systems. There's always new ideologies. They promise fairness and equality and security and equity, but they always deliver control. They centralize power, they silence opposition, and they crush dissent. History's seen it over and over again. It's always different names, but it's the same outcome every single time. Less freedom, more control. It always starts the same way, with the best intentions. The road to hell was paved with good intentions, right? Freedom wasn't ever built on any kind of central control anywhere. It was built on individual responsibility, limited government, the belief that we, as flawed as we are still better off being free than controlled. And that takes accountability. So here's the shift. Freedom isn't just something that we enjoy. It's something that we steward. We didn't create it. We inherited it. And that means Whether we like it or not, we're responsible for what happens to it next. The Constitution doesn't preserve itself. We preserve it. The people living under it preserve it. People who tell the truth even when it's costly and inconvenient. People who stand firm when it's unpopular, when dissent is silenced. People who engage instead of checking out and looking at their phones all day. People who raise their kids to understand not just what freedom is, but what it requires.